Hello and welcome to episode 140 of Speak Beastie for December 12th, 2021. I'm Amy.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Marjolaine.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey!
Yay!
Hi!
Episode 140! That's not my song. I have another one for later.
That number just makes me so happy because it's an even, like, you know,
it's a nice number.
Yeah, and even right even the date, the 12 and 21, it's just 1, yeah. 2, 0. It's very simple. Numbers.
Very satisfying.
It's like binary, but with a couple of twos in there, like, hi, we are also a number.
Don't forget about us.
And actually, I just wanted to say that the date when we are recording, it's the actual 20th birthday of the release of Harry Potter, of the first movie in France.
Oh!
Yay!
Happy birthday to you.
No, you have to sing it in French.
And I said birthday. I think you say anniversary for this type of event, but we have the same words for the both. So is it anniversary of the 20th? The 20th anniversary. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's yay. So cool.
Yeah.
20 years. Nice. Yikes.
Yeah.
Gosh, how old? Now I'm just thinking about how old we all are. Or at least I'm thinking about how old I am.
Think about how old we'll be when Fantastic Beasts is 20 years.
Oh my God.
I don't want to think about that.
Why would you even say that? How dare you?
We've got time.
We're all going to look like Nicholas Flamel. I personally will be shuffling everywhere I go.
Be like 45. Crazy. Anyway, this episode is sponsored by Speak Beastie Patreon supporter Roger B. Thank you for your
support.
Huzzah!
Thank you, Roger.
Thanks, Roger.
Well done, Roger.
Well done. Hello, listeners. Amy here. Future, older, and wiser Amy. What past Amy, Jeff, Shannon, and Marjo did not know is that we would get our first glimpses of footage from Secrets of Dumbledore just days after we recorded this. And so the curse continues. So keep that in mind while listening to us complain about a lack of info on this episode. But never fear, you'll hear from us again sooner than you may think. Now back to your regularly scheduled episode.
And now for the Phoenix Register.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Hey you, yes you, the magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint, just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind the scenes features. But wait, there's more. Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wigs knees and how.
So there's a bit of news. Warner Brothers had a Fantastic Beasts event in Japan, and we were ready for a trailer. We had like scheduled emergency recording, an emergency live stream. There was no trailer. They just announced the title of the movie in Japanese and that the release date in Japan would be April 8th.
Mm.
Rude. It was like a three-tiered plan. It was, you know?
We spent so much time getting ready for that. I was going to come home from a full night shift of 12 hours, get very little sleep, and you have no idea. I mean, you guys know the level of nonsense that you can expect from me at this point, but the level of nonsense you would have gotten after that little sleep and that much being awake for that Google Hangout, people missed out by us not getting a trailer to talk about.
Shame on WB.
Yeah.
They better release that trailer soon.
What are they waiting for? Like, seriously.
They're waiting for us to record an episode the day before they drop it.
Is James Newton Howard done with the score? Because I know it's been a couple of weeks since he said he was going in to record everything, so he'd be done with that part, right?
I don't know.
Probably.
They don't need the score to release the trailer, because usually it's a specific music that is created for the trailer, so it's not even, usually it's not even the composer of the movie who...
Yeah. But they're missing out on, like, the holiday marketing right now, you know?
Because all the big Christmas movies are getting ready to come out. There's a couple this year that are coming out that people are definitely going to be seeing around the holidays.
Right. And that's, like, a big thing. Like, you go with your family to see movies around Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, we do it every year in my family.
Yeah, we were expecting the trailer for this specific event because they were announcing that like a launch event for the movie, and they have an audience. I mean, it's not just because all the communication for the movie was for now just online, and it was the first in-person event with real people talking.
So we didn't get a trailer, but we didn't exactly get nothing.
Well, so David Yates was there, and David Yates said...
It was not there. It was just a recorded video.
He was, quote-unquote, there.
David Yates was on a video, and the video was there. And he said about the movie, "All I can say is the biggest secret of the Wizarding World, Dumbledore's mystery, will be revealed, and you will need to watch the movie to find out what it is."
He can't possibly mean what we already know, because even people who don't, like, devour these books or these films as many times as we have know about his family business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing. And, like, all of the marketing so far for this movie, and, like, even the title, like, everything, it's like, okay, but what is it that we don't know? Because
and I'm like,
we
I don't
know
want
this.
There to be another big, like, plot twist about Albus Dumbledore. Like, there's already been enough. Let the man rest.
Know. Like, they keep acting as if we don't know about his family history. And I'm like, guys, like,
unless it's like they're going to reveal which one of them killed Ariana, but, like...
They can't reveal that.
Yeah.
They can't, because then it's cemented forever, and that's part of the canon, is that there's no certainty.
Yeah. Right.
Unless they let the viewer know, but, like, none of the people involved
but
know.
Then, like, why?
That's still the same thing. That's just taking this thing that has remained a mystery for this many years and saying, oh, we've decided.
And also, like... Why is Dumbledore's mystery the biggest secret of the Wizarding World? There are so many other things that I have questions about.
Now, hang on a minute. They keep saying Dumbledore's mystery.
Yes, they say
he didn't
Dumbledore.
Say Albus Dumbledore's mystery.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. And we've because we about know that before, Aberforth is going to be in this movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not
maybe there's more to Aberforth than meets the eye.
Yeah, we believe he's going to be in this movie.
Yeah. I think that just the way that they keep framing this, I think it's going to be something we already know, but that hasn't, like, explicitly been confirmed. Like, the Ariana is an Obscurus situation.
Sure.
Like, we all know that, but it hasn't, like, actually been said and explained. Just like we all know Dumbledore and Grindelwald were like an item per se. Not well, I guess we don't know that because we don't know what Grindelwald felt towards Dumbledore, but we know like that whole situation, but like again, hasn't really been confirmed.
Yeah.
Confirmed. No
In
one's come
text.
Out and said it. Like so I don't know.
Or it's gonna
I feel
be,
like that's what it is.
It's just gonna be the mystery of Aurelius Dumbledore and whatever.
Who doesn't exist. Yeah.
Like, or does exist, but it's not Credence, or it's Credence is Ariana's Obscurus inhuman, you know, something like that. Yeah. Like,
I stand by any of the things Grindelwald that, made that up.
Yeah, I mean, any of the things that we've theorized, like...
I still think it's going to be heavily focused around the Ariana situation, just because we have Aberforth and stuff. Like, it just makes sense to me. Ugh, we have to wait a few more months.
Yeah.
So, Marjo, you had some more notes in here because you did a more deep dive into this disappointing event.
Yeah, because I was so expecting something from this event that I looked back to every tweet, every official tweet that they did during the event to see if we missed
and
something.
And you were awake before the rest of us.
And yeah, so I don't read Japanese, so I just Google Translate did everything. So I have some very useless detail about the event, but it was hosted by Mamoru Miyano, who is the Japanese voice of Newt Scamander. And there was another guest, but she's not related to the Fantastic Beasts movie, I think. So just to show you that they still had people presenting that. It was not just a video, but for presenting very little news. So yeah, but it was still in a beautiful scenery, because I think it was where we have this theme Christmas tree that we talked about last episode. And they also announced that in Japan they will have exclusive goodies in the theaters for the first weeks of the movie release. So yeah.
I want exclusive goodies.
But it was weird because they presented the date like, oh, you are so lucky, Japan, you will be the first country in the world to have the movie. And it's not true. They have the same date as the UK, even if, okay, with the time zone differences, it will be earlier in Japan. But even in Germany, I think it will be one day earlier. So even with the time zone differences.
That's awkward.
That's so weird, because they make something excited out of something that is not that exciting. So, yeah.
Maybe from their perspective, it was more exciting.
Yeah, and I wonder if they plan to have more people there. And since the borders of Japan closed very recently again, maybe because it's impossible to travel to Japan right now. Even when they did the event, I think even Japanese people couldn't get back to their country. They had to wait. Maybe they planned something a bit more, having more people to talk about that and having at least people to be there, maybe cast members to be there. Maybe it's just... I'm not sure it was what was planned, but anyway.
Anyway, in other news, this next piece of news is not technically about Fantastic Beasts, but it's still pretty cool. There's going to be a Harry Potter reunion special with Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson, Rupert Grint, and a ton of other people from the movies and Christopher Columbus all getting together to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the first film. For some reason, not on the 20th anniversary, but it's called Harry Potter 20th Anniversary Return to Hogwarts, and it's streaming on HBO Max on January 1st. So yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean,
I think it's a trap. Chris Columbus is just trying to get the original cast all back together so that he can pitch them his Cursed Child movie.
That's just all it is.
It's just going to be a Cursed Child live stream with the original cast. I mean, looking at the people who are going to be there, like, most of these characters are in Cursed Child.
So let's He's going to get them on set, hand them a script, and just be like, go, dry read.
So he's just going to get them. The rest of the cast that's going to be there, that's confirmed so far, Helena Bonham Carter, Robbie Coltrane, Ralph Fiennes, Gary Oldman, Imelda Staunton, Tom Felton, James and Oliver Phelps, Mark Williams, Bonnie Wright, Alfred Enoch, Matthew Lewis, and Ivana Lynch.
Is that all?
Yeah.
No, that's, yeah. So now that we didn't get the trailers for Fantastic Beasts, maybe this date, January 1st, for this event could be a good idea for Warner Brother, because obviously they want to bring the Harry Potter fan back to the Fantastic Beasts franchise. So
that's a clever idea.
A lot of intention around this event, so I don't know. But it's late.
I don't know if it...
Hopefully. Yeah, I know.
It's a bit but late, yeah.
I mean, it's a month from when we're recording, basically. But
yeah, it's
yeah,
only,
that's like 3 months out from the film release.
4 months? Yeah,
but
4 months.
They're running out of time to release the trailers, so maybe they just won't release any trailers. That would be wild. Can you imagine?
Or they're just gonna, once they release the first teaser, then suddenly it's gonna be like an avalanche of trailers coming out.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
for
no.
sure.
I don't want that. Well, if they are going to release the trailer very late, I just want one or two and not more.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Because sometimes films do too many trailers.
True.
Well, then they'll always have, like, TV spots. But usually those are just kind of shortened versions of the trailer.
Yeah, or like the YouTube ads that you skip after 5 seconds.
Yeah. So, in news that is related to Fantastic Beasts, according to MuggleNet's sources, there will be confirmed a Fantastic Beasts area in the Epic Universe theme park, which is going to be the next Universal Orlando theme park, which we had already kind of figured there's going to be a Fantastic Beasts area. But yeah, we don't know what it's going to be.
Like, do you get to, do you think when you enter, like, it's like you're climbing into Newt's suitcase?
I don't
know. At least at the beginning, I think that would be kind of fun.
Yeah, I know that the rumors are that it was going to be like 1920s Paris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, so, a Crimes of Grindelwald kind of thing.
A permit suggested that it's going to be all, like, inside a big building. The main attraction is speculated to be an interactive adventure in which riders travel through the streets of Paris, helping Newt round up his magical creatures, potentially using the interactive wand technology.
Maybe a theater show.
Maybe a tower-based attraction.
As long as we're not doing that terrifying, like, Grindelwald breaks out of prison scene from the beginning of the movie, I don't think I'd care to be on that ride at all.
That'd be so fun, though. You could ride with the Thestrals. Oh, so cool.
Up in the air in the middle of a rainstorm? No, thank you.
So they're just, like, dumping buckets of water on you. Like,
exactly.
You are fully immersed.
Yeah.
Or, like, they've got those annoying little... water guns on the front of your chair, like you're rocking back and forth, you're trying not to throw up, and then next thing you know, right in the face.
So there's the thought that maybe there'll be like a ride in the French Ministry of Magic or the British Ministry of Magic, and then there's also rumors based on a patent that there'd maybe be a flying broomstick VR ride.
Which I've been wanting, like, forever. That'd be so cool.
I mean, I think we all would like to ride a broom. Most of us, at least.
No?
I've always wanted to do, like, maybe I don't want to play Quidditch, but I've always wanted to know what it would feel like to fly on a broomstick.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously I'm speaking for myself.
I'm afraid of heights, so... Not for me.
It'd be so cool, though. I feel like it would be very much like the Avatar ride.
Yeah, that's what the patent kind of reminds me of. For those of you who have been to Animal Kingdom, there's a Avatar ride. As in the blue people, not the good cartoon.
But, like, thinking about when they say tower ride, it would actually make sense for it to be Makusa and the Grindelwald's escape. Because that's a tower.
That sounds really scary.
Well, the Epic Universe is not expected to open until 2025 at this point. Construction was very delayed because of the pandemic. But they have started construction again. So our final piece of news, not like big news, but in a recent interview with The Times, Eddie Redmayne, so he was being interviewed about... He is currently playing the MC in Cabaret, in a production of Cabaret. And there's a bit of controversy because the MC has usually been played by LGBTQ performers, which he is not that we know of. Let's be fair. Maybe he's just not out. But yeah, so he was being asked about that and that controversy. And then the Danish Girl came up where he portrayed transgender woman Lily Elbe. I think that's how you pronounce her name. And that movie came out in 2015. So there was a lot of controversy at the time and still that, you know, a cisgender man was cast to play a transgender woman. And when asked about it now, he actually said, "No, I wouldn't take it on now. I made that film with the best intentions, but I think it was a mistake." And then he was also asked about playing Stephen Hawking in The Theory of Everything and kind of about all these roles. He then said, "The bigger discussion about the frustrations around casting is because many people don't have a chair at the table. There must be a leveling. Otherwise, we are going to carry on having these debates." Which is very true. You know, it's more, you know, we got to get more transgender people, more LGBTQ people in general into the acting sphere, the Hollywood sphere, so that they can be cast and stuff. And it's really hard to like get that breakthrough because so much now is about casting the biggest Hollywood actors.
Right.
And straight actors thinking that they're actually reaching some kind of understanding of the LGBTQIA plus community by playing non-straight roles. When not even realizing, at least what Eddie is doing here is at least acknowledging that he didn't realize that he may have actually been causing some harm by taking on the role, and at least he's acknowledging that now.
Yeah.
There are some who just are still not doing that.
Yeah, and even a few years ago he said, like, the quote is, "I still haven't necessarily reconciled whether it was the right thing to do." So now I guess he has reconciled. And like, I know that he did a lot of research and like talk to trans people and stuff, which is good. And there's also, I mean, MuggleNet mentions, like, you know, we don't know what his contractual obligations were at the time, you know, right when like the controversy was out. He might have already signed a contract.
Right.
But, you know, who's to say? But yeah, you know, it's nice to see some people in the Fantastic Beasts cast and crew at least taking trans people into consideration, unlike other people. But yeah, so that was just kind of, that was just kind of nice to see.
That was a fair bit of news.
Yeah.
We haven't had that much news for a while.
Our last episode was recorded kind of early.
Right.
So
yeah.
Let's get some owls in here.
Finally, the owls are back.
Welcome back, owls.
Yeah. And
yay, owls.
Actually, they all come from our magical common room, which is our private Facebook group from the for the Thunderbird Patreons. So yeah, the common room is very festive this month. We have, yeah, I think we have, we get back to this very lively place in the common room, and it's so nice. So if you want to be part of it, you can check out our Patreon and join the fun, because it's really fun to be there right now. And so we collected a few comments from the common room. So the question, I didn't write the question, but I remember we talked about what kind of adventure do you want for Newt in Bhutan? And so we have Sophie telling us that can we just get him in the wild trying to find beasts? And in the same, we have a couple of comments in the same idea. We have Cathy saying, "Go on a jungle cruise." And Elizabeth saying, "I'd love to see him take a long hike." So I think we all want Newt in the wild, having wild adventures.
If you want to see somebody take a long hike, go watch The Lord of the Rings. That is 12 hours of walking.
Instead of Frodo and Sam, we're just going to have Newt and Jacob just walking through the wilderness.
I mean, it would be
3 hours.
It would be a change from all the rooftop scenes. For yeah, good to have something else.
So then the question becomes, is it really a Fantastic Beasts movie if they aren't on rooftops because they're in the woods? Or maybe they find like a temple in the middle of the woods that's been there for thousands of years and the they just are like, you want to go up on the roof and talk this out? That yeah. thing probably has a roof.
Yeah. And we also had a very interesting comment from Eve, and she said, I want it to be in some way beneficial to telling the story of something we already seen, like Obscurus or the Blood Pact, end quote.
Hmm.
Yeah.
We were just kind of saying that, weren't we? Like, this Obscurial thing is probably going to be an important part of the story.
Yeah. And the Blood Pact, I'm still convinced that it will be an important plot point of the movie, and maybe what yeah. will bring them in some adventure, maybe in Bhutan or maybe somewhere else. But yeah, I would really mm-hmm. like if they go to Bhutan because they need to find something there that will help them to destroy the Blood Pact. That would be,
you know, but I was cool. just thinking, like, does he need to destroy the Blood Pact?
Yeah,
somebody has to destroy it.
But yeah. does he though?
I mean,
They supposedly have a magical duel, but neither of them die. So maybe Dumbledore and Grindelwald don't actually harm each other.
Then what was the point of bringing up this Blood Pact throughout Crimes of Grindelwald if they're not going to destroy it?
So that the Blood Pact stays and you see that they can defeat evil without fighting.
Okay, if that's really where all this is going...
But Dumbledore still has to actually defeat Grindelwald to become the master of the Elder One. So
that's
they still
true.
Need to have a fight. But you're right that it's an important thing that Dumbledore is not killing Grindelwald in the end. But even without
yeah.
killing him, he still needs to be able to defeat him. So in some way, so
yeah,
he can defeat him non-lethally.
That's what he will do, mm-hmm. but he still needs the Blood Pact.
I mean,
to
I guess
destroyed.
It's a question of, like, the Blood Pact is like, you can't harm each other, but, like, does that mean they can't have any sort of magical duel? You know, does that like mean there's no way for him to defeat
I
him?
Think that's, you what can still... that's what happened when they fight and they had the incident where Ariana died. I think it was because of the Blood Pact, and they tried to fight, and the Blood mm-hmm. Pact made the spell I don't know,
sure,
like misdirect.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just a theory, but that's what I'm guessing.
It's yeah, a good theory.
Sense. Yeah, I think
I would buy
I
that.
Mean, I think that they could destroy the Blood Pact, or I think there could be a way to not destroy the Blood Pact and still have it all. I mean, basically mm-hmm. what has to happen is Dumbledore has to face Grindelwald because he has to face his past, mm-hmm. you know, for character development, and also because, you know, we know that he defeats him in some way, but he doesn't kill him.
Also, so they need closure because they loved each other.
Yes. So mm-hmm. it's like, we know that has to happen. We don't necessarily know that the Blood Pact has to be destroyed for that to happen.
Yeah.
But
I think it does.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think, but it's the... destroying the Blood Pact needs to be a physical destruction, but also a psychological thing
yeah.
for Dumbledore, because I yeah. think that's the only reason why he didn't try to destroy it before. It's not because he don't know how to, but because he doesn't want to.
I think mm-hmm. there's also a version where he destroys it, but then he still, like, refuses to fight because he's like, mm-hmm. no. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, defends yeah. himself, but, like Grindelwald was almost like, haha, yes, I let you get the Blood Pact so that you would destroy it, because I don't know how.
Yeah, going back to this comment from Ev, I think it's interesting because I do think, like Marjo said, that the Obscurus and the Blood Pact will be a big part of this next
yes,
film.
Yes, for sure.
And they already planted the seeds for these in movies 1 and 2, first of all. And we really need answers
yeah.
in movie 3. And I think it was... I feel like J.K. Rowling said something about answers will be given or something when asked about movie 3. Is that a thing, or did I make that up?
Someone, I think, said something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we've heard that.
David Yates.
I mean, that's probably somebody. Something that we hear a lot when they start communicating about the movie.
I mean, but
once they actually start saying something.
That's something that Albus Dumbledore said a lot in the Harry Potter series.
Yep.
And
sounds
he had
familiar.
To die to get some answers, so I don't know.
Oh, my God.
And both of the Obscurus and the Blood Pact are actually connected to whatever secrets Dumbledore has.
Yeah.
So that's...
And Marjo, if you're right about the Blood Pact playing a role in the Ariana fight and her death, then they're connected even more in the plot than we would have thought. Yeah. So,
and like, I think even if they don't destroy the Blood Pact, like, I think that, you know, they would be trying to destroy the Blood Pact. You would have to go through a process of figuring out, no, there's no way to destroy it. And then Dumbledore is like, well, I'm going to go face him anyway. And they're like, wait, but...
Yeah, so very interesting point, Ev.
Yes.
And lastly, since Anne is not there today, I need to quote her because that was hilarious. And she said, "I just want a bunch of longing looks that keep getting interrupted by monkeys or tigers."
Yeah.
Longing looks between whom?
I'm guessing between Newt and Tina, because we are always talking about Newt and Tina when we are talking about longing looks. But I don't know.
Longing looks between anyone, really.
Yeah, maybe.
We're just starved for some on-screen romance.
Longing looks between Newt and a monkey, and then a tiger interrupts.
And like the subtitles like between the monkey and the tiger are like, "Oi, that's my man. Back off, you."
I saw him first.
Yep. We can write this movie.
We should write this movie. That could be an episode.
Well, speaking of character interactions, that brings us to our main discussion. So today we wanted to talk about who interacts with who in movie 3, who has scenes with who, which characters interact, and what can those meetings and scene pairings tell us about what might happen in Secrets of Dumbledore. So a lot of these pairings that we're going to talk about in this episode come from comments made in interviews by cast and crew, so confirmed from the mouths of the cast themselves.
Yeah, and good job about the research. I was really impressed that you...
This was a lot to put together, so well done.
Yeah.
Internet deep dive. I just have to say, the Fantastic Beasts fan community is very wonderful on Twitter and Reddit. Yeah. And so many of these have been so well documented all over those platforms that it was great. Like, I just had to find the dates and then search for interviews and live streams on those dates.
Gotta love the fans.
We have so little bits that we need to collect everything.
Seriously. Oh. Oh, man. Okay, so the first confirmed characters that have a scene, at least one scene together, is Jacob and Queenie. So Dan Fogler actually mentioned this in a live stream, and this was the one that I couldn't find the video for, but I do know this happened. I remember it happening. There's tweets about it.
Maybe
I
the
just
live
couldn't
stream
find
doesn't
the video.
Exist anymore.
To be fair, Dan Fogler is doing so many... He did so many live streams at some point that I can understand that it's not easy to find. I mean, in maybe 3 months, he did at least 5 live streams or something like that. That was,
I think that's one of the reasons people love Dan Fogler so much, is because for a guy who does as many different things as he does, he really does as much as he can to make time for the fans because he loves his fans.
And I think at least half or most of what you gathered there comes from Dan Fogler's Dan Fogler's content.
Yes, he is definitely the most vocal at giving information.
I think he's a fanboy at heart, like the rest of us, which is why he's so eager to give us what he knows we want. He was even in a movie called Fanboys. It's one of my favorites.
So Jacob and Queenie do meet up again, even though they're clearly on opposite sides of this fight at this point. So that's interesting.
I'm counting on there being more than one meeting between these two. Like, they're going to constantly cross paths, and it's just going to get more and more, like, they realize that part of the reason they keep crossing paths is because they miss each other so much, and then by the end of the movie, they're back in love again.
Please.
Yeah.
I need it. Don't take it away from me.
Sure. I'm not as optimistic, but...
I feel like they're going to be put in some real awkward situations, though. If there's, like, showdowns between Grindelwald's side and the Newt / Dumbledore side, they're going to meet up and be like, but we don't want to fight each other.
Awkward compared to what? That Jacob walk with me scene exists in my brain as one of the most awkward, uncomfortable, just heartbreaking moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So sad. Yeah, but another one confirmed by Dan Vogler is Jacob and Grindelwald have at least one scene together. And this is an interesting one. But Dan confirmed it during another live stream on YouTube. That's a very long live stream. I don't know, it was like an overnight thing or something, where he brought on a bunch of different people and talked to them about different things. And he brought on Mads Mikkelsen, and that was in January of this year. And we can probably link this live stream in the show notes. I'll give it to Anne later. But at the 7 hour, 7 minute and 37 second timestamp, when Mads is on.
Yeah.
And the actual Fantastic Beasts, like, talk starts around the 7 hour, 51 minute mark.
Yeah, they had a long conversation, but it was so good. I watched all of that, not the 7 hours, just the part with Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, I mean, Mads Mikkelsen is just delightful to listen to, but the two together, it was a really good talk.
It was, yeah, definitely. But the quote where we kind of learn this information, we don't learn it in this quote, sorry. But he talks about it before this quote, and I just thought this quote was interesting. Dan said, "I came into this film thinking, well, now I'm going to give it away, that I'm going to have a moment with Johnny. And I was so excited about that because I was getting to work with someone who I've appreciated for so long. And I'm really sad about it. That's all I'm going to say about it. But I'm really happy to have you on set, man. You're amazing." So actually, I guess that is where he kind of says, yeah, we have a scene together. Because he thought he was going to have the scene with Johnny Depp. And
yeah, and the way he phrases that definitely sounds like more of a one-on-one moment. Or like them directly interacting, even if there are other people around. Not like, you know, the end of the last movie where everybody from the movie is in the same room. But
Right. Yeah, that's true, because he did technically have scenes with Johnny Depp already, but it was just
not really.
I mean, they could have even not filmed that together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how he makes the big speech where he talks about how he doesn't hate the Nomadges. He feels bad for them. And I'm thinking, what could possibly happen in a scene where these two are actually speaking to each other? I'm thinking, okay, how about this? Queenie is starting to drift away from the fold. Grindelwald can sense that. He can also sense that she's still in love with this Nomadge from before, who I'm sure she's probably mentioned at least a couple of times. So he's thinking, okay, here's what I can do. I can keep my Legilimens on staff by bringing him in so that they can be kissy-kissy together. And at the same time, I can use him as a poster boy and say, see, I told you I don't hate them because he and I are buddies now.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
That's possible. Yeah.
Yeah, but in this scenario, I totally see that. But in this scenario, I think we will mostly see Jacob as a prisoner. So it can also be like for some reason they have Jacob, and it's in this scenario that we will have interaction, because maybe Queenie defend Jacob or make sure that he's not killed right away. And so that's in this context that we will have all this interaction between Jacob and Queenie and Jacob and Grindelwald. But yeah, I really want to see that. But
Yeah. Just another interesting note too during this conversation is Dan and Mads have worked together before and they know each other because they worked on Hannibal together. And Mads actually said he was nervous in Hannibal and again in Fantastic Beasts because he sort of felt out of his element in a way, like I guess filming in a new place and not really knowing a lot of the cast or whatever. But he said that Dan really grounded him and was great to work with. So that was kind of nice that there's like this mutual respect and rapport between the two, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying. The interview is really, really nice because the way that Maz is explaining how he's getting it's giving a bit of context of what it was like for him to be there, like mm-hmm. replacing another actor and not knowing anyone and seeing Dan, it was nice to have a mm-hmm. friendly face. And but yeah, I'm still nervous because I don't see encounters between Jacob and Grindelwald ending well for Jacob, so we'll see.
Yeah. So the next one is kind of interesting. So this one is, we know there's a scene with Dumbledore, Jacob, Eulalie Hicks, and Newt.
In matching uniforms. X-Men style jumpsuits.
Yes. So that's interesting. And a recap for people, Eulalie Hicks, we saw her in the book that Flamel was using to communicate. She was in the book, and she is a charms professor at Ilvermorny, and she's played by Jessica Williams. And the quote comes from Jude Law, who actually confirmed this during Dan Fogler's podcast, so thank you again, Dan. The quote is, "The last day I was in, it was you," in parentheses Dan Fogler, "and me and Jessica and Eddie, and we had a great scene."
Yeah.
So that's an interesting mixture.
It's also interesting that there's like no Tina there.
Hmm. Right. What's going on there?
I mean, we'll get through all of these, but like, spoiler alert, Tina is not in any of these confirmed scenes.
True. Yeah.
That kind of bothers me a little.
Yeah.
Like, is she off going rogue again? Like, doing her little,
I think,
like,
part of it
undercover
is
stuff?
Probably that she doesn't do as much, like, press stuff, but so she's not talking about it, but still. She's not on all these.
But, like,
streams.
You would think she would be. Because this is, like, the whole group, basically, right? Like, Dumbledore, Jacob, and Newt.
Yeah.
You would think Tina would be in there, too, if they're going to get Eulalie.
Maybe she and Theseus are doing something?
Ooh,
maybe.
That'd be an interesting pair.
Our crew doing aura stuff.
That could be fun. Yeah, I want her to befriend Theseus.
Oh, yeah,
because
they're both aurors. They have that in common.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Like, they're off with Yusuf Kama doing bad stuff.
Nice.
Because we don't have Theseus in this pairing, too, so.
Right.
Come to think of it, is Theseus mentioned in any of...
No.
Theseus isn't mentioned in any of these either. So maybe that's why neither of them is here. They're off doing dangerous stuff with Yusuf Kama. They're the brute force. They're the...
the special forces.
Exactly. They're the ones going in doing the dangerous, aggressive, like, attack-style missions, like, fighting people head-on and stuff. And Newt and the Newt squad in their matching X-Men uniforms are more like an infantry, like, recon squad gaining information.
Yeah.
Okay, great. We've worked it out.
Also, like, I was just wondering, do we think Eulalie Hicks was a professor when Queenie and Tina were at Ilvermorny?
I don't know.
She doesn't look so much older than them. Maybe a bit older, but...
Yeah.
Maybe she was like between her own Ilvermorny days and when she started teaching, like maybe she was at Makuza for a couple years.
Maybe.
Let me compare.
I just wonder if they know each other, you know?
Hmm. So, yeah, Jessica Williams is only 32.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, Eulalie could be older or younger.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But, yeah, the other thing that I think it's interesting is that we actually have Dumbledore and Eulalie Hicks together, and because we know they are part of this underground network around Dumbledore, and that Flamel was part of it too. But and I was a bit disappointed that Dumbledore and Flamel didn't interact in the last movie. And this time we really have Dumbledore with friends of his and with, I don't know, people that he already has, I don't know, this underground network going on.
Yeah. And
so I'm really interested about that. Because I was kind of expecting Dumbledore to send Newt and Jacob meet Eulalie Hicks, but I wasn't sure that they will interact. So that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for the record, Catherine Waterstone's 41 and Alison Sudol's 36. So they're both older than Jessica Williams.
They're also older than their characters.
I mean, yeah.
Supposed to be.
But maybe they were all in school together.
Maybe.
I mean, if we have a time jump in this movie, maybe it's not.
They catch up a bit.
Yeah. Between the age and the character's age. But we don't know about that.
Yeah, the characters might be older than them.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. It's an interesting group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And another Dumbledore scene that Jude Law confirmed on that podcast is Dumbledore and Credence meet face to face. And Jude's quote is, "Ezra and I were on the street in Berlin doing our scene, and I started to think of Once Upon a Time in the West."
Ooh.
Yeah. So he says about this our scene, which makes me think it's just them.
Yeah, and we know that we saw some pictures of the sets, and it's Berlin under the snow. So we can, well, it will be, I think it will be one of the climax of the movie, maybe the emotional climax if it's not the big action scene, but... Yeah, that's
it
really
feels
exciting.
Very much like this is the moment that Credence has come to kill Dumbledore.
And
he's gonna try, but Dumbledore's not even gonna raise his wand. He's just gonna like be deflecting spells like, no, Credence, I have this
Dumbledore's
really great speech that I worked on. Just let me say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you I imagine Credence not saying a word, and you feel the tension grows and Dumbledore. Because when they talk about Once Upon a Time in the West, you think about this tension growing and growing with this music, and you don't know if it will explode in the fight or it will just stay the tension hanging. So yeah, I'm really excited about this scene.
And this is really interesting to me because if it's kind of what we're thinking it is and what we were just saying, it's kind of like a prelude to the Dumbledore and Draco situation that actually does end
That's
up
really
with Dumbledore dead, but like very like interesting, you know, both young men that he's like trying to talk off the ledge, they're being controlled by other evil sources. Just very interesting.
Like Dumbledore's up there on top of the lightning struck tower, like Draco is trying to kill him, and he's like, how do I always manage to end up in exactly the same position?
Dumbledore's like, I just can't understand why all these boys want to kill me. What
like,
have I done?
First it was Credence, then it was Tom, then it was kind of Harry. I mean, he didn't attack me, but he broke a bunch of stuff in my office.
Really
now Draco's
mad.
Trying to kill me. Just like, what is
it
about
me?
Is it something I say?
Am I the drama?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Drama door.
And to add more drama, maybe imagine if just before this scene we have this other scene where we have finally the confirmation about the Obscurus and the link between Irena's Obscurus and Credence, and we just have this revelation, and just after that we have this scene of the two facing. Oh, that would be I don't need the trailer. I already have the images in my head.
Oh,
No, I do need the trailer, please.
Yeah, no, really, we need the trailer. Like, give it.
In addition to Jacob and Grindelwald having that face-off, Newt and Grindelwald also have a scene together.
Hmm.
And we know that it's an epic battle scene, including these two. And that was confirmed in a USA Today interview with Mads Mikkelsen. And he says the battle scene with Eddie Redmayne took them 3 weeks to film.
Hmm.
I'm guessing because Newt probably decides to use his suitcase full of creatures, so they had to, like, CG all these creatures in.
I love that, and I hope that's true.
Maybe he brings back a dragon from Bhutan.
Oh, yes. Cool. Like, I need to see, like, the behind-the-scenes pictures of all the mechanics, the things that they built to stand in for these creatures. Like, I need to see just, like, Mads Mikkelsen vigorously trying to defend himself with a wand while a tennis ball on a stick is, like, flying at him. Like, somebody's just trying to whack him with a tennis ball on a stick, and he's just trying to shoot spells at it.
They're just throwing tennis balls at him.
That would be, like, oh my gosh, yes. Him trying to, like, people are throwing tennis balls at him and he's deflecting them with a wand. Like, that's a gif.
3 weeks.
That's, like, the real reason he was like, yeah, I was real nervous on set. They kept throwing tennis balls at me.
3 weeks I had to.
Like, I'm glad the scene turned out so well, but I do not think I will ever be playing tennis again after this movie.
So I think I picture this big battles, big battle between Newt and Grindelwald taking place while we have the previous scene that we talked about between Credence and Dumbledore.
And for sure, that's what I think.
And it could be a good contrast if Credence and Dumbledore, it's really just this tension hanging without a big explosion. And on the other side, we have Newt and Grindelwald having this... yeah, this stupid epic battle with dragon, with beast, and with lots of spells. And
yeah. I like that.
Like, it's basically a Pokemon battle, except that the enemy that you're fighting is Dark Wizard instead of a bunch of other Pokemon. Like, Grindelwald's got this health bar above him, and every time a creature goes at him, his health bar drops just a little bit. But then, oh no, he drinks a potion and his health bar goes back up.
So another just interesting little thing that we know is Dumbledore and Grindelwald both have scenes with the head of the International Confederation of Wizards, which is super random, but, like, kind of cool. And this comes with an interview with actor Oliver Masucci. I think that's how you say it. And he was being interviewed by Esquire. And he was doing the interview via Zoom on his lunch break on set, and he was still in costume. And when someone comes to get him to tell him that time's up, he says, "I'm about to travel to see Mads Mikkelsen and Jude Law." So, you know, take it to mean I'm about to go do this scene with these two. So,
yeah, I assume that's what he's meant. He could also not talking about a specific scene with both of them or one and the other, but just, oh, it's so cool that I'm in the same movie as Mads Mikkelsen and Jude Law. But we can say that he really means that he will on this day shoot with both of them. But yeah,
so I just picture it being fairly straightforward. Like, Dumbledore shows up and is trying to warn the head of the International Confederation of Wizards, look, you need to step up your security. You need to do this, this, and this. Kind of like what he said to Fudge as soon as Voldemort came back. Like, you need to do this, this, and this. And Fudge wasn't listening to him. Like, the head of the International Confederation of Wizards is doing the same thing. Then Dumbledore says, fine, but don't say I didn't warn you. And then, like, the moment he pops out, Grindelwald just kind of slips in the room like, hello. He's like, oh, shoot, I should have listened to Dumbledore.
Yeah, it would make sense that the two would somehow interact with this guy, because, I mean, this is an international matter at this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and
kind of interesting.
I think I created a headcanon in my head about this head of International Confederation and Grindelwald, because both actors are, I mean... the Oliver is German, and he actually looks a bit similar to Mads Mikkelsen. Like, and I don't know why, but I imagine them to be, to have, I don't know, history, like maybe they are around the same age, so maybe they went to Durmstrang together, and they have this friendship that nobody else knows about, or I don't know, maybe it's too much because Gerlert already has a history with Dumbledore, so you can't have friendship with everyone. but I don't know, I can imagine that,
yeah,
that it's the highest sphere of the magical, of the wizarding world, and if him has he's under the influence of Grindelwald, is, I mean, yeah, we know that Grindelwald took control of most of Europe at some point, so mm-hmm. yeah. Hmm. So interesting.
Very interesting. So this last one is a confirmed pairing that does not have any scenes together. So this quote comes from Catherine Waterston, and she says that Grindelwald and Tina don't have any scenes together in this movie.
Because if they did, she would kill him.
Yeah, because she's smart exactly. enough to actually go to toe-to-toe with Grindelwald, so they can't have that happening too quickly.
She'd just end it right there.
I mean, she's already the master of the Elder Wand, so...
Yes,
oh,
exactly.
Yeah, that's a fan fiction.
But she said in an interview with Collider, "You know, I hung out with Mads in Venice. We were there at the same time this summer, and I'd never met him before, and I had a great time with him. He's totally lovely. But that was before he was cast." I think that's right. I think it was just before he was cast, and we don't have anything together in the film, so I don't know what it's like to work with him, unfortunately, but maybe someday we will. Yeah.
I feel like Catherine Waterston and Mads Mikkelsen would have really good on-screen chemistry, though, so yeah. It seems a shame mm-hmm. not to put them together.
Yeah.
True.
Maybe next movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're saving that, because they can't have... I mean, we already have a big battle scene between Newt and Grindelwald, so maybe they are saving the big battle scene between Tina and Grindelwald to movie 4 before the last battle with Dumbledore. So
yeah,
it just, like, you have Newt, it's epic, but okay, then you have Tina and that's really epic, and finally you have Grindelwald yeah. and Dumbledore.
Well, technically, Tina has already battled Grindelwald.
Yes.
In New York.
Yeah.
So. True.
And she did pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe she's had her go. And then, but you know, yeah, we cycle through them all.
She was young in the first movie. And since then, Grindelwald took her sister. So now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's personal.
Yeah.
She had time to train.
You know, that's actually a good point. Like, that's actually surprising. Does that mean we don't get like a Tina and Queenie confrontation scene then? Because if we did, I would feel like Grindelwald would be there.
Oh, maybe. Well, maybe we get that while Grindelwald is fighting Newt. Yeah.
Newt is the distraction.
There's just a lot going on at the same time right there. Yeah, all the battles.
How fun would that be, though? Like, Newt and Grindelwald are having this epic Pokemon-style battle, and it ends up not going well because Grindelwald gets the upper hand on Newt. Newt gets hurt. Tina sees it and is like, "Did you just hurt my man? Oh, I'ma kill you now, dude." And then she hops in and she just goes Molly Weasley on his ass.
But she's not, since they don't have a scene together, so...
Next movie.
Yeah, next movie.
I know, but I want it.
But yeah, it could be fun if Newt was actually distracting Grindelwald and Dumbledore was taking care of Credence while Tina was going to get get Queenie and Jacob, because if at this point Jacob is a prisoner, maybe that's again Tina saving the saving the day. I hope so.
Yeah. So those are all the ones that I could find. hopefully people slip up and give us some more little nuggets soon so we actually know something.
Yeah, please. if we don't have a trader, give us at least interviews, please.
Yeah, seriously.
Shall we do our last segment?
Yes.
Who's up for a gift exchange?
A gift? Oh no, I didn't buy anything.
We wish you a merry beastie. We wish you a merry beastie. We wish you a merry beastie and a happy new year.
Well, folks, it looks like it's time for the Secrets of Dumbledore Santa Gift Exchange, where our podcast hosts will be figuring out exactly what to give the Fantastic Beasts characters for holidays this year. Let's see what they get.
So here's what we're going to do. For our fun segment today, we are going to have a gift exchange, but we're not going to have to go out and do any shopping, probably, because we're doing something we're calling the Secrets of Dumbledore Santa Gift Exchange, instead of just a regular Santa Gift Exchange. I was proud of that title. So here's...
Well done.
Thank you. So here's how we're going to do this. I have written 12 character names from the Fantastic Beasts universe on these little slips of paper. I was going to pull them out of a sorting hat, but when I tried this out myself, my sorting hat wouldn't stop talking and sorting me into different houses. It was very confusing. So instead,
Wizard
I'm using
problems.
My Seattle Seahawks hat, but it's still a Christmas hat because I got it as a Christmas present.
Okay.
Okay.
So we will go through one at a time. I figure we could go Shannon, Marjo, myself, and then Amy. Almost said Anne. She's not here.
That was a great mixture of Anne and Amy.
And
I like
me.
It.
Yeah, good.
And me.
Oh, I like it. Okay. So I will pull out a character's name, and then one at a time, we will say... I'll pull out a character. Shannon gets for that person, and then Marjo okay. gets the next one, and so on.
Okay.
Picking out a name. So Shannon... You are going to get a gift for Dougal.
For Dougal.
Yes, I threw a couple of creatures in here. I thought that'd be fun.
Oh,
so what would you Dougal the demiguise for Christmas?
Dougal's also Dumbledore.
Yeah, yeah. So Dougaldor. What would I get Dumbledore for Christmas?
Dumbledougal.
I think a stocking full of candy.
Of course.
Oh, candy.
Just a lot of definitely some lollipops in there, lots of other... candies for him. Yeah,
he's gonna love that
candy. Yeah,
that way he doesn't have to steal kids' lollipops anymore.
Yeah, exactly. See, it's both the like present, but it's also like encouraging him to not steal from children because he can get his own candy.
It's a win-win for everybody. And who doesn't love a stocking? Stockings are cute and festive.
Yeah.
All right, next up, Marjolin, you are going to get a gift for Eulalie Hicks.
Oh, that's tricky because we don't know her much for now. So, I mean, she's a professor, so I will... it's too easy to get her books, and I think she already has too many. So, I will give her a very nice... notebook. You know, the very fancy professor's books where they can write all the grades for their so I mean it's connected to work, but I see that she's somebody who is really engaged into her work, so yeah, a very nice stationery for her job. Yeah,
well, that sounds nice.
It's not very personal, but I don't know her for now, so
it's okay. Like, hey, that. You know what? That's how these things go a lot of the time. When you get into a secret Santa gift exchange, especially at work, you end up drawing the name of a person you don't know that well.
Yeah, true.
So you just give them money. Everybody will accept money. No, a stationary notebook for her sounds good. Let's see. I'm next, and I have Credence.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
A loving family.
I was about to say a hug.
And a gift card for a new haircut.
Hey guys, this is supposed to be I mean, I know the jokes write themselves with this one, but this is supposed to be my gift. You know what I'm going to get him? I am going to get him, I'm going to sponsor like a month worth of therapy appointments for him. And in the meantime, like, we'll work out the insurance or whatever it takes to cover the rest. But like, I'm gonna get him some help. Like, I'm going to get him somebody that he can talk to, because in the wizarding world, no matter what continent we're on, we know that the magical community in general does not do therapy that well. Like, Credence is going to be somebody who is going to be one of the first. That's what I'm going to get him. You know what I'm going to get him? I'm going to get him a membership to BetterHelp.
Perfect.
That's what he's going to get. All right. Amy, you are going to get a gift for Grindelwald.
Oh. Well, he really likes his skull hookah. So, I don't know. Maybe he'd like another hookah that's like in another somehow evil form. I don't know what that would be. What's just as creepy as like a skull
for a hookah?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a skull.
A kind of skull? Like an animal skull?
Oh, an entire skeleton.
Ooh.
He's gonna get a whole skeleton and it's a hookah.
Nice.
And we'll call him Old Smokey.
Yes.
On top of Old Smokey.
We'll put a little name tag on him and everything. It'll be great.
And a hat. It'll be fun. He's styling. He's having fun. All right. We are back to Shannon.
Okay.
You are going to get a gift for Queenie.
Okay. So Hanukkah gift.
Yes. Oh, I put that here as a note. I believe it is canon that Tina and Queenie are Jewish, so yes, they can receive Hanukkah presents.
I think Jacob is Jewish, too.
I believe so.
With a name like Kowalski, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like, he's Jewish because Dan is Jewish and he has the name Jacob Kowalski, but I don't think they've like said in the same way they said about Tina and Queenie, but so.
Yeah.
Well, Queenie gets a Hanukkah present then. You don't have to get her 8 of them, just one.
Phew. Okay. Let's see. I think I'll get Queenie the unofficial Harry Potter cookbook.
Oh, I love that cookbook. I've had a whole birthday dinner from that cookbook.
So good.
So good.
So then she can cook Harry Potter meals for Tina and Jacob and Newt, but I don't think he appreciates it as much. But yeah.
Perfect. Book of recipes for Queenie.
Yep.
All right, Marjolaine. The last one was a little bit of a challenge. This one might be even more fun for you because your next gift is for Picket.
Oh. it's hard. I think I will gift the perfect gift would be a very nice bonsai, very nice one that he can hang in, and a private one because we know that he doesn't get along with the other boatwalkers, so he will have this nice bonsai just for himself. So,
yeah. Be like a studio apartment for him. That's cute.
Yeah,
I like that. So that one wasn't as much of a challenge as I thought.
Yeah. I like that.
Okay, my next gift is for Theseus Scamander.
It's a good one.
See, now I'm struggling between something that would actually have existed in the time that these characters are living in and something that would happen now. Because I've already said I'm getting Credence a membership to BetterHelp. That did not exist in the 1930s. So I'm torn for Theseus because if I'm not sticking to things that were appropriate at the time that they were actually alive, then I'm just going to get him a Captain America hoodie and not explain. It's like, trust me, in our time, this makes total sense.
I mean, listen, if you're getting it for Theseus, you know, in the 40s, it might exist.
Yeah,
because true.
You know what I'm gonna do for Theseus? I'm gonna get him like a night out on the town. Oh, I'm gonna sign Theseus. Since I've signed Credence up for something, I'm gonna sign Theseus up for something. I'm gonna sign him up for speed dating. You know, to help him move on.
Yeah.
Because you know soon. His fiance is dead.
That's
yeah. I appreciate that.
This is fun. Christmas is fun. Also Hanukkah. The holidays are a good fun time talking about dead fiancés. All right, Amy, you ready for your next one?
I am ready.
I hope so, because your next gift is for Yusuf Kama.
Oh, that's a hard one.
A loving family, a membership to BetterHelp.
Oh my gosh, why are all of these presents things like therapy and dating and things that help with your mental health?
Why do these characters have so many issues? Jeez.
So weird.
I mean, look what they have to put up with. My mental health would not be that great if I had to deal with half of what these people do.
You know, I feel like it's time for Yusuf to move on from this unbreakable vow and his whole little, you know, assassin's mission. And to do that, I feel like that's hard to do when you still have the marks of that unbreakable vow on your arm. I think I'm going to get him some, like, scar remover fading cream. And he can really try and, you know, make the marks fade so that he can just move on without that reminder.
That's
is
nice.
The scar remover like made by a St. Mungo's healer so that you know
yes.
it works? Because I don't know
yeah.
if it would have to be to remove
no,
the scars
Johnson
from something
and Johnson.
Like that. That's a nice thought. I don't know if I would have thought of that. So well done, Amy.
Yeah, I would just give him a hat because he looks like he like hats. So.
I would give him an enchanted hat stand that every time he gets a new hat for his collection, it sprouts like a new arm so that he never has to buy another hat stand.
That's a good one, too.
Okay, last round, you guys.
Okay.
Shannon, what are you going to get for Tina?
Oh, I got them both.
Yeah, you got Tina and Queenie. How about that?
Tina's hard, you know? What does she like other than her job?
Nude.
Yeah.
She likes fabulous haircuts. You could get her a hair appointment.
I could.
Or you could get her a coat that weighs like 15 pounds less than the one she was wearing.
A coat, but I'm like, but she has coats.
She needs something practical.
Yeah. What am I going to get, Tina? Oh. I'm going to get Tina one of those cool wand holsters.
Ooh.
For your, like, wrist, so she can just pop it out from under her coat.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it could change color so that it always goes with her outfit because she's so fashionable.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, there we go. And it's custom made for her wand, like... So it fits in there perfect. Yeah.
It has her initial on it. And...
Yes.
Way to go the extra mile on personalizing it. You got the color changing option.
Yeah.
You got monograms.
You got to
do special. Oh, and also like it will only form to like the shape of her wrist exactly. Like
there
if other
go.
People try to put it on, it won't stay.
Yeah.
A lot of extras
it's got
on this
thing. Anti-theft spells on it, you know?
Cool.
It reminds me of James Bond, the kind of stuff that he has.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
She is a James Bond. So.
Like the watch that does everything under the sun except tell time because there was no more room for a clock.
Oh my gosh.
All right, Marjolaine.
Yeah.
Not going to lie, I was secretly hoping to get this one for myself, but I think you will do well with this one. Your last gift is for Jacob.
Oh, cool. I mean, yeah, The obvious one would be a very fancy cooking set, like everything you need to bake. But it's a bit too easy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no. I if I'm being honest, that's the first thing that I will think about. So
I'm sure he'll appreciate that just fine.
And I would, yeah, but more, yeah, like the baking, I don't know how you, baking plate, I don't know how you say that, but you can have a whole set of different mm-hmm. type of form that you can mm-hmm. use for different type of cakes. And
like a nice nonstick pan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah. a whole set of that. And and yeah, with maybe some magical abilities. Ooh. in the set.
Magical nonstick.
Yeah, because he's a muggle, so but he still can use magical items, I guess. So.
Yeah.
I got it. You guys, a no-bake nonstick baking pan, because like he's a nomad, so it's no-bake technology, because here's what you do. You pour the cake batter in the pan, and then you don't even have to put it in the oven. It just bakes the cake for you.
Whoa.
I'm not sure about that, because I think as a baker, he will want to control exactly the baking process. So...
True, yeah. But I've seen a lot of baking shows. Like I've watched a lot of Cake Boss and the Great British Baking Show, and I've seen a lot of situations where they get it baked, it's all decorated, it's just perfect, there's minutes left to go, and then suddenly the whole thing falls over. So what if he had to start over from scratch and he didn't have another 3 hours to mix and bake another thing? Like he could just whip out his magic pans, pour some more batter in, and then boom, the cake's done and he can just decorate it.
Yeah,
that could be like his emergency backup set.
Yeah, I can see that. But at the same time, the whole point was that he didn't like the. He worked in a factory and he said that he wanted to do food, handmade food. So I don't see him using too many artificial way to cook. His stuff, or to bake.
That's fair.
Stuff, but yeah,
that's a good point. Okay, so just nice, non-magic, just very nice, sturdy, fancy-looking, pretty baking set.
Or very, very basic magic element, like just non-sticking thing, or just the very basic abilities.
I like that. My last gift is for... Okay, this is funny. Because Shannon got Tina and Queenie. I got Theseus, and now I have Newt. What to get for Newt? You would think Newt would be easy, because we see him so much, and we learn so much about him. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get him... Again, if I'm going outside the timeline of this is what they have available in their time, I'm going to get Newt a subscription to National Geographic, because he spends so much time studying magical creatures, I think he would maybe enjoy getting to know some non-magical creatures a little bit. It's because I don't know how much of a crossover there is. He's obviously very well-versed in magical creatures, but I think non-magical creatures might be something that could also fascinate him. So I would see that as a chance for him to learn, hey, here's how they study creatures in the non-magical world.
Yeah.
Because he's obviously more interested in non-magical people than a lot of wizards are in his own time. So maybe he could extend that to creatures too.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Well, Amy... The last name in the hat is Dumbledore. Somehow that feels appropriate. It's the Secrets of Dumbledore Santa gift exchange, and the last name coming from the hat is Dumbledore.
You know, I feel like I just gotta go for it, and we're gonna get him a nice book of knitting patterns.
Nice.
And
some very nice yarn.
Perfect, because he does love knitting patterns.
He does.
Well, perfect.
That's all the names that I wanted to do more, but I honestly wasn't sure how long it would take if we had a dozen. But there are some characters that I thought it would be fun to shop for that we didn't actually get to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't put the Niffler in, but it was too easy. Everything shiny would be good for them.
I chose Pickett and Dougal because they're the ones whose names are canon. That we know.
Fair.
Yeah. Well, next year we'll do other ones. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next year we'll do all the characters that we get that we haven't done.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we'll include pastries, because at this time pastries will be canon. I'm sure.
Yeah, hopefully.
This is true.
Fingers
and
crossed.
And we'll do whatever new characters we get in Secrets of Dumbledore.
So the podcast question for this episode will be connected to our main discussion, and we want to know which character do you want to have scenes together in Secrets of Dumbledore? Maybe some characters that we didn't listed on this episode. So yeah. So you can give your answer on any of social media, and of course via email at speakbeastie@gmail.com. And you can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
So if you'd like to keep in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpeakBeastie. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/SpeakBeastie, Tumblr at speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com, and we would also love to have your support of the show on Patreon over at patreon.com/speakbeastie, where we have all kinds of fun things coming out. We have cool stickers, we have Patreon content that our hosts have been working on, and speaking of that, what have you guys been working on lately to add to the Patreon content?
So like I said last time, I actually started the advent calendar in the common room. So every yes. day I share pictures and videos from my UK trip from last month. So that's very nice, very fun to do. And I like seeing all the reaction every day. And for the Patreon who are not in the common room, don't worry. At the end of the month, I will make a big files with everything, and we'll share it on the Patreon for the people who are not on the common room but who are still Patreon.
Yeah, and also coming up, our lovely graphic designer Carolyn actually made us some really cool coloring pages
yes.
that are Fantastic Beasts themed. So you heard it here first. Those will be starting to pop up on Patreon as well in the coming months. So yeah, they're really fun. They're really cute. She's very, very talented. So, yeah.
I'm gonna, at some point, I have to sit down and do this. I want to do at least the core four as what their Dungeons & Dragons classes
Ooh.
Characters would be.
Oh, that sounds like Ooh. So much fun.
So, gonna
so
try to not
cool
make
stuff.
Them all wizards. Right, that's it.
All right. I'm Amy.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Marjolaine.
I'm Shannon. Case closed.